drinking at the Brigand Bar. Yes.
Oh, yeah, pass that roach, please, and pour the wine. I'll kiss yours if you kiss mine. Welcome to the Freakers Ball, folks. This is Friday night here, August 21st, 2020. It's 9 p.m. in my time, 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 p.m. on the West Coast. If you're in the U.S. of A., of course. If you're in other countries, I won't even hazard a guess. But welcome. This is the Freakers Ball. We are live. It's reallibertymedia.com and on the Freakers Ball show page or on vaughn.live/reallibertymedia. Also, for the audio stream, head on over to RLM Radio. I can almost talk. RLMRadio.xyz and pick up the audio stream over there. You can also get to the chat there and on reallibertymedia.com. And you can head on over here to the chat where we're all at. We're all hanging out on this Friday night, having a good old time. I see a bunch of people here. Bunch of people in here chatting it up. I see Java Doctor and Moose Girl and Ben. Moose Girl, who'll be calling you, and Charlie. Yeah, I'm a kinky. I'm a kinky one, man. We got Chloe. We got Ben. Wow. I saw Rob Works in here and Hansel, a.k.a. J. Dread. Duh. The Dusta. And who else we got hanging around with us tonight? I don't know. Zipix I see popping in and out. Dan from Tennessee was hanging around for a little bit. I don't know who all's here. Chloe, I already mentioned her. I see her up there in the list again. Woodman, the Meister Brow. Let me just rattle off some of the names on the list that I don't see chatting. People like Beetle and Barman and Miss Kate. Miss Kate, you awake? Anti-Hazamo. What else we got? Chalcedony and Flash. He's probably asleep. He's over there in Denmark, you know, so he's probably sleeping. Moose, I'm hearing that, are my audio levels all right? Check. Everything looks good, I think, on this end. Yeah, no, my audio levels are up to par, up to spec, so, anyway, Prince, who will probably be doing a show tomorrow night, I don't know, and JJ's, and, Graham V, hey, Grammy, hey! All right, thank you, Chloe. And there's Rome, thank you for that, Rome, so I appreciate the audio checks there. All right, and we got the bots about Vanna White, Weather North, Ben Wall. Yeah, I already mentioned him. Oh, all kinds of people, come on over. There's a nice group hanging out here. Frumpy, are you awake, Frumpy? All right, so 10 by 10, thank you. That's better than 5 by 5 by at least double, at least somewhere in there. All right, well, Moose Girl will be calling in shortly, I would assume. I would think. No, I didn't say anything. Nope. No. All right. Anyway. Hopefully you're all having a good week or had a good week out there. You know, we made it through another one. We survived another one. As for me, it was hot here today. It was hot. Hot. Yes. And my AC didn't work too great today. It didn't, it's just not keeping up with the heat. It was like 98 degrees here today, which it's been 98 off and on. And most days the AC kicks ass, just works, you know. And sometimes, some days it's actually cold in here. But right now it's like 80 degrees in this room, and I don't like that. I like it down around 72. That's my preferred temperature year round. You know, summer, winter, fall, and spring. I prefer around 72 degrees. I you know tend to knock off the AC and the heat during the fall and the spring as much as possible. Some days though, sometimes here in New Mexico, and it's probably the similar where some of y'all are out there, but. One day it's summer, and the next day it's winter. And then you're like, hey, where did that fall go? It happens on the other side, too. It's winter, then suddenly it's summer. It's just like, yeah, you know, I could use that little break, that you know, a couple-month break in the middle between the hot or the cold seasons. But sometimes old man weather or whatever you call them, I don't know, they just don't give it to you. And so you go from hot to cold or cold to hot. Hopefully this year we'll get a nice real fall season. That would be highly appreciated. Got some winterizing to do outside, as always, but, you know. Anyway, what else going on? What else going on? Well, on Monday will be the, I will be into my sixth decade here on the planet. 6 decades! Yeah, so I turned 60 on Monday. But anyway, so somebody bought me a gift this week. I'm pretty sure I know who it was, but I haven't spoken with that person yet. Anyway, the gift is this nice guitar amp made by Pyle. It's a 60-watt thing. It's got, some nice little features in it, and I gotta say, I dig it. It's freaking awesome. yeah, it sounds really good with the cigar box too, man. Oh boy. Also with the electric, but yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, so I don't know what's holding the moose up. She's not called in yet. I think she's trying to figure out her audio situation going on over there. So I don't know. I guess she'll call in. Maybe I'll play a set, and then we'll come back. And any RLM news? RLM news. Let me think. Nah. Oh. Well. Dark Table will be late tomorrow. It'll be on. Dark Table will still be on tomorrow, but it'll be late. Flash was a little non-committal as to what time he was actually going to start. Thanks. Great, Moose. I'm glad to hear that. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and play a set anyway. And then you can call in after that. And let's kick this thing off here with a little bit of a guy named Gary Clark Jr. You may be familiar with him. You may have heard of him. All right, here we go. Gary Clark Jr. Wait, which one did I pick? Oh, I picked the wrong one. Got to pick the right camera. All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Gary Clark Jr. I'm proud to be...
There you go, Mikey. Woo! Take me out.
Sammy Hagar and the Circle on lockdown session number 5 back on April 30th there, doing AC/DC's Howl Out of Rosie. Oh, man, that's some good stuff there. Before that, C6 Steve doing Toes in the Mud. Oh, that was just a couple weeks ago. He recorded that one August 5th there. Toes in the Mud, C6 Steve. Yeah, man, great stuff, man. And we kicked it off with Gary Clark Jr. doing Lou, a New Child at the Apollo Theater. That was on June 4th, 2020. So all those songs, pretty darn new here. All lockdown style tunages for you all. Moose Girl at the end here. Be right back. All right, Moose, you can be right back. I'll be here. I ain't going nowhere. Oh boy, I tell you. Man. Yeah, hey, man, it's starting to cool off here. Hopefully that'll help the AC unit actually do its job as it's supposed to. And I won't be as aggro. Am I aggro? Yeah, I'm never really aggro. Quiet, you. Dang video. Starting up without me allowing it. There. Oh, man. Where were we here? Oh, I would save that one for Cirque, but she's never around during the show. So, yeah, we'll do something different. We'll do something different than that because, well, maybe I'll play it anyway later. Yeah, well, we'll see. Now we have a phone call. Now we have the Mighty Moose Girl.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. How you doing?
Hanging in there.
Is that so? Is that right?
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you?
I'm all right, I guess. How are you doing?
You already asked me that.
Oh. Duh. Well, now there's people are cheering for you being all right.
You're almost It's almost your birthday.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big one, Grim.
It is, yeah. 6 freaking decades.
Man, that's an accomplishment. You should be happy and proud of yourself.
I don't know about any of that, but I survived all this time. You know, when I was 20, I certainly didn't think I was going to make it to 40. And when I was 40, 60 was definitely out of the question. So now that I'm 60, I was like, well, better start chopping it down to 10 years. So 70's out of the question.
There you go. No.
You're
healthy.
No,
you're
I am. I'm all good. You know, I got no medical issues whatsoever.
Right.
So, at least none that I'm aware of, because I don't
That's good.
I don't go to those people. Medical type morons. I avoid them like the plague, because they are like the plague.
Yeah. I mean, they'll find something wrong with you.
Or they will make something be wrong with you just going into those
right.
disease pits they call hospitals.
Right, exactly.
You know, or just even the general doctor's office is.
Yeah, germy as hell.
Yeah, and I don't want no part of that.
I remember one time I had to take my kids to the ER. They were like three years old.
Right.
Almost four, probably. I don't know. Anyway. We had just moved to a new place, and, you know, everything's all everywhere. You know, when you move, everything's all fucked up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, I had some vitamins out, like a bottle of vitamins.
Right.
And they found the bottle and grabbed the bottle and then dumped on the floor, right?
Okay.
And the cap came off.
Okay.
And so I didn't know, but apparently you have to call poison control when this happens, because your kid, we didn't know if they ingested any or how many, right?
Well, what? It was vitamins, right?
Yeah.
What kind of vitamins were they?
With iron in them.
Okay.
Apparently you can have a problem with iron, like an overdose of iron or something,
right,
when you are a child. And so, I mean, I had to call poison control.
You didn't have to.
What do you mean?
You didn't have to. You did.
No, I didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
You know, because I was talking to a family member or something, and they're like, well, you have to call poison control because there's iron in them. It can be an overdose or whatever and be harmful. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, I didn't know. That was one thing. I thought I was like, knew everything, you know, not everything, but knew about parenting and about, you know, poisons and keeping them away from kids and all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so I had to bring him to ER, even though they seemed fine at that time.
Okay.
But apparently, you can have some serious complications from iron poisoning.
Sure.
So I had to take them to the hospital, the ER, right?
Okay.
And they turned out fine. It took a long time. We were there like 3 hours. You know, when you go to the ER, you got to plan at least a 3-hour thing. Okay.
Jeez. All right.
Yeah, because I don't know why they're so goddamn slow in the ER, but they are.
Okay.
Maybe it's so that, you know, I don't know why. It's probably money. It has to do with money. But anyway, I get home with these kids, and literally the next day, so we were at the ER at night, right? It was like 8, 9, we got out of there like at 9:30
or 10 o'clock. How old were they?
They were like 3.
Okay.
And, or like in between 3 and 4, like 3 and a half.
All right.
Anyway, we get home, and the next day, and they were fine. The next day, they're both violently ill. And so I call up the ER, because we moved from to a different town. So we were like new to the area, right?
Okay.
And I called the ER and I said, my kids are now violently ill. What, you know, why is that? Because I had them in the day before for this iron poisoning. I didn't know if they were still maybe the next day experiencing something, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I called the hospital where we had gone, and they're like, oh, well, there was a kid in here or someone in here that had a case of rotavirus, and your kids must have got that from being in the ER. I'm like, thanks a lot.
Jesus,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like freaking out because, I mean, it was, oh my God, it was horrific. And both kids were that way.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. So it's true that you can pick up a lot of things.
Sure.
When, if you go to these facilities, if they don't do proper cleaning or whatever, you can pick up this stuff.
Well,
know?
It don't matter. I mean, they're all in there breathing out their nasty-ass stuff that they got. So it don't matter how well they clean. If the kid, if the kid's sitting there in the same, you know, emergency waiting room.
Right.
And then, you know.
Because kids aren't very good, like little kids especially, they're not very good at covering their mouth or washing their hands.
Right.
They're not, unless the parents like doing it for them or something, you know what I mean? I mean, they're just not good at a certain age. Once they, you can teach them to do that stuff.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, I even asked, I finally stopped asking my kids if they washed their hands.
Yeah.
And they're 20. They're like, Mom. I'm like, okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, keep talking. I'll be back right in a minute.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, they're like, Mom, we're 20. Really? So, don't be talking to us like we're little kids anymore. Anyway, it's hard to let that mentality go. Once they become adults, you're like, okay, they're on their own. Well, they've been on their own since they were 14, basically, making their own decisions or whatever. Okay, Ben, Mandolin Orange, good. Yeah. Mandolin Orange is playing on YouTube there for a little bit. So that's cool. If you guys haven't heard of them or know of them, check them out. Mandolin, well, you should. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. But anyway, Grimner,
yes.
Where'd you go? There he is. He's back.
Yeah, I popped the circuit breaker. Popped the circuit breaker.
It what?
I popped the circuit breaker.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah, no big deal.
How'd that happen?
The AC. It's the AC circuit breaker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, overload or something?
I guess. You know, it's been running all day, so. Whatever. It happens.
Yeah, that does happen.
Yep.
When I first moved into this house,
mm-hmm.
we had the fuses.
Oh, those are terrible, yeah.
Yeah, we had fuses when this house, when I first moved in
the,
here.
The screw-in type?
Yep, you know it. And then finally, you know, I'd lived here a couple years, and I did that rehab loan.
Yeah.
And that was part of it, too, was getting that panel replaced, the circuit breakers.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a huge upgrade.
That's right, Ben. I was playing Mandolin Orange too loud, and there goes the breaker. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure that my box is probably the same age as the house, which would put it at
right.
73 till now, however long that is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of years, but
I
have replaced a couple of the actual, you know, switches, the breaker switches,
mm-hmm.
but not that one, I don't think yet. So it may be time.
So I'm in a dilemma. It's not a big deal, but it's just something that I noticed that with hockey. Okay, there's just, you know, Kraft, the company Kraft Foods.
Right.
They do this thing every year called Hockeyville, and they provide one community in the country with $150 in rink upgrades.
Okay. And?
Anyway, I think they're part of Heinz now, too. I think they merged. But anyway, so River Falls is one of the, there's four cities up for it. East Grand Forks, Minnesota, El Paso, Texas, Wichita, Kansas, and River Falls, Wisconsin. Okay, so I've personally been to the River Falls facility that they have in there, the Wildcat Center.
Okay.
And it's freaking beautiful, dude. Okay? It's one of the best rinks out of all the rinks I've been to in this state.
For that level of hockey.
Yes, for youth hockey. And the high school team plays there, too. The high school teams use this facility, and the girls, all the hockey teams do in the area.
Okay.
The youth hockey, the high school, the girls teams. And so when I walked into that rink, I was like, wow. Because it's literally got to be 5 years old, the building.
Right.
So what Eau Claire had to do, though, which we upgraded our rink, too. Yeah, River Falls uses the Wildcat Center as well, the college level. Because it's a beautiful rink. So how in the hell are they appealing to need $150,000 in rink upgrades when their rink is already beautiful? Okay? So I would think East Grand Forks, which I need to watch their little promo video, but I would think not even East Grand Forks, because they're in Minnesota, which is the state of hockey, right?
Right.
Their rink's probably beautiful. El Paso, Texas, I would think would be a more deserving recipient. Just because it's Texas, dude. Hockey's huge in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Hockey's not as big in Texas as it is up here. And I guarantee you, probably, their facilities, it's East Grand Forks, though, Ben. Not Grand Forks. But they're calling it East Grand Forks for some reason. Minnesota. Anyway, I would bet that El Paso is more deserving of this at this time than any of these other cities.
All right.
But I don't know. I just, not too far, duh. But it's a real, I love River Falls. I love that town. I mean, if they win this money, that would be great. I mean, hopefully they'd use it, you know, because their rink really doesn't need to be upgraded. That's my point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't even know if I'm going to participate in voting in this contest here, but I thought about nominating Eau Claire when my kid was playing hockey,
right.
But I'm like, no, because, you know, the communities rally around these hockey teams, and especially at the youth level. I mean, when my kid played, I was a single mom, so the youth hockey had a scholarship program, and I qualified for.
Right.
Like, they didn't want to exclude anybody from playing hockey.
Sure.
You know? And so most of these communities are good. But I would think down in Texas,
mm-hmm.
hockey's not as big down there. You know, they probably... And you have a lot of Latino kids, Mexican kids down there. You know, that's...
Right, right.
Which... That would be wonderful to get some of them kids involved in hockey. That would be in awesome, you know?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Because, you know, El Paso, it's a tough place to grow up, dude. I can only imagine, but you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's
right there on the border of Mexico and Texas.
Yeah.
Look at all the shit that's been going on with the border stuff and on the immigration stuff, and, you know what I mean, through the years. It's just got to be a rough place to live, you know, to grow up.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the people there don't have a lot of money, you know, and hockey's expensive. I mean, the equipment is expensive, you know. So I would think that a town like that would probably be more deserving of this money. That's
probably.
Just my take on it. But.
Yeah, but everybody's going to try for it that has it available to them, so.
Right. I mean, more power to them. But like I said, I've been in some really shitty rinks throughout the 13 years that my kid was in hockey, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and River Falls definitely doesn't need a rink upgrade.
Right.
No way.
Right.
I mean, I just think any kind of sport or any kind of thing you can do for a kid, you know, to help them, even if they're growing up in a rough environment, you can offer programs and services and stuff like that. So they have a better shot, at making it, you know what I mean, and not going into prison.
Yeah.
And I think people just forget about that, and they just, I think lately, so I'm done with the hockey thing, okay. I think lately, the way with the media and the movies and the music, you know, they don't want kids to be kids anymore.
Right.
And there's a big problem with that because, you know, if you grow up in a rough environment and you grow up, odds are you're going to end up in prison, okay?
Odds are.
That's just the way it is right now. And it's not right. It's not, I don't know. I just think, and I don't think we should rely on government to provide that either, you know?
Should rely on government for anything.
What?
You shouldn't rely on government for anything.
Right.
If they, whatever they do, they screw up anyway, so.
Right. I mean, the thing, the way that they try to quote-unquote help, obviously it's not working, okay?
Yeah.
Because we, you know, they talk about the prison, what they say that, prison, school-to-prison pipeline or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure what they exactly that means, but.
Well, it means that school's basically a prep for you going to prison.
Okay.
And they you know, they got all those, what do they call them, resource cops or whatever.
Right.
There now, yeah. And they'll get you for any little thing that they say that you did, whether you did it or not. Because they, mm-hmm. a lot of those times, they'll just not like a certain kid, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we caught him doing this, that, or the other thing, and
right.
We're throwing him in the hoosegow, because, well, we can, and so we will.
So, I'm just saying, what needs to happen, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, too. Grassroots things, you know, a community needs to have facilities and resources because if the parents have to both work and the kids are left on to their own devices, you have to, you really need to have some or should have something for them to do that's productive and not just playing video games and listen to their stupid music. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say it's stupid music. No music is stupid. Okay.
I don't know. I might have to disagree with that. But.
But I'm just saying, that's how, well, I use sports that way as like kind of a buffer for being a single mom, you know. Yeah. And it's a crapshoot being a parent. It doesn't matter what environment you grow up in, really. You can still be a loser if you grow up rich or poor. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I think nowadays, though, like I started with this, is there's no childhood left anymore.
Yeah.
They want kids to be like adults, and this is not right, you guys. In my opinion, this is not cool. When you're sexualizing kids, something's wrong, okay?
It's messed up.
Something's fucked up with that,
Hell yeah.
And I don't know what they're fucking trying to do to kids these days, but it sure as hell ain't the same as when I was a fucking kid.
Yeah, or either that or it's just more public now. You know, they're trying to make it so it's normalized where they make the kids sexual things.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw that article that Kate posted. I think it was Kate. And it's this show that's coming up on
the Netflix thing?
The Netflix thing?
And it's
Cuties or something?
Yeah, it's called Cuties, and they got these little girls twerking all over the stage.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean,
it's just,
I've read from people on there that it was supposed to be to expose what's going on in the industry,
right.
Rather than trying to make it, you know, so that it's for the perverts. But
right.
But
here
but,
is the here's okay. I'm going to post this link here.
But the thing is on it. The way they're advertising it, who do they think is going to watch it? It's going to be
well. Obviously, who do you think is going to watch it based on that the American version of the ad for the movie? Oh my God, it's
right.
Disgusting, dude.
So yeah, I mean, why not go with that French version? I mean,
right? Why did you have to sexualize it? The American? I mean, maybe that's not real. Grim, has anyone like?
No, it's real.
Dove deep on this one. I mean, how can that?
Well, that was the French version. It was from a film. It was done
wow.
in a film based thing, and the American version
yep.
is what Netflix took from it, and it's going to make their show out of. So
this is what I'm talking about. Okay.
So
type of thing.
When you know Netflix, they're fairly evil anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't had Netflix for a while, so I don't have to worry about all their crap. But once they started pumping out all that Barack Obama crap,
yeah, I gotta cancel my members. I don't watch them. I haven't watched Netflix for a while. Come to think about it,
I just use Amazon for movies and Tubi, but Tubi's free. But Amazon,
yeah.
But that comes with my Prime that I get all kinds of other stuff with. So, and it costs less than Netflix, and I get all the free shipping and music and e-books. All kinds of stuff comes with the Amazon thing. Now, of course, a lot of people say, oh, Amazon's evil. Maybe, probably.
probably. I mean.
but they have some... It's a good, still good deals on they have on stuff, and especially like, you know, whatever their movies and all that. So, I'll stick with Amazon, even though they're evil.
yeah. Are they evil? I mean, are they as evil as Bill Gates? I mean,
oh no,
what's evil? I mean, why are they evil? I don't get it.
That's a pretty high hurdle.
Yeah, it is.
Well, just you know, because they're
because Jeff Bezos is a fucking quad billionaire or whatever the fuck he is,
richest man in the world or whatever.
Yeah,
the thing you know because. Bezos owns things like Washington Post, which is like the mega lefty thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one reason to question him. But also for your own local businesses, it's not you know if you buy everything on Amazon, it's not good for your own local businesses.
No, it is not.
So
no.
I mean you know there's trade-offs that you got to deal with, but.
Right.
I still buy from local businesses, but
yep.
But there's stuff on Amazon I can't get anywhere
else. You can't find in your town.
Yeah, and they bring it right to my freaking door.
Right. It's pretty convenient.
Not as fast as it was pre-corona.
Right.
But it's still pretty quick, you know.
Yep. So I've been ordering a lot of stuff online. I've only received one mangled package, which is good. And the contents wasn't damaged, so I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
I'm good, you know.
Yeah,
but,
most of my packages come in fine shape. I haven't had any bad packages come in.
That was from the USPS, though, not Amazon.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, speaking of USPS, the mail-in ballot thing.
Yeah.
If they do that, do you know how much of a fucking mess that will be?
Oh, it'll be a never-ending mess.
You can't control a mail-in balloting system.
No,
of ballots is that they are supposedly wanting to send out.
Well,
the problems with this?
What I don't understand is they already have this absentee ballot thing, right?
Right.
Well, why don't they just use that?
Why are they
coming out with a brand new system?
Yeah.
Just in this. You know, last minute kind of ditch effort to do bad shit with. Well, why not just use the system they have that seems to have been working? I mean, you know, as much as any voting system works.
Well, see, absentee, I don't know what, I've never done that, so I have no idea what, apparently it's like if you're on vacation or something.
Whatever.
You're not going to be able to vote on November 3rd, so you do an absentee ballot, right?
Oh, so, fine. So why, they could change that rule so it's not just if you're on vacation or whatever.
Right. It's if you don't want to vote in person.
Yeah.
As well. But why are they going to do the way they're trying to do it is asinine.
Well, yeah, they want to send ballots to everybody.
Right.
And a lot of those people don't want ballots.
Are dead.
Well, they're dead.
Or they're dead already.
Right, they're dead or they've moved to another address. Somebody else is living there.
Do you see problems with this in an election?
Oh, yeah, it would be horrible.
It would be a nightmare.
Anyway, I found a guy. Okay. That might be worth looking at for voting for president.
Oh really? Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Are you joking?
Well, I'm not. Anarchist presidential candidate releases comprehensive 0-point plan. So the up and coming anarchist candidate, Lord Dweebles Dragonborn, is gaining in the polls after unveiling his proposed plan for the country, which involves doing absolutely nothing. Pundits and political consultants were left scratching their heads after the release of the document, which is just a blank piece of paper that smelled faintly of cannabis. His 0-point plan to save the country is making waves. Republicans and Democrats reacted in horror. Wait! How can we have a government just not do anything? How will people know what to do? What will become of our jobs? Wait! Who will build the roads? They shrieked in terror. The roads, not the roads! Apparently, there's this idea that people can form their own local governments if they want, or not, or whatever, said one local representative. People could just do whatever they want or organize themselves however they want. It's literal insanity. But besides, who would build the roads? Have I mentioned that? As Lord Dragonborn rises in the polls, people are already drafting new and innovative ideas for what their own dream societies might look like if Dragonborn is elected. One proposal... One proposal involves building art deco style underwater city and injecting the citizens with serums to create superhuman mutant abominations.
Uh-huh. Okay.
An anarchist commentator
Babylon B all the way or Onion all the way.
Anarchist commentator.
Fuck this.
Anarchist commentator Michael Malice came out in support of the candidate's plan, saying he's particularly appreciated point zero of the plan, as well as points zero through zero. The corporate press is the enemy of the people, so they won't ever cover Dragonborn's brilliant plan. The depravity of malfeasance of the corporate press is without cessation. We thanked Malice for his comments, and he replied, "You're welcome." For fans of the anarchist candidate insist that if he is elected, he will likely be the greatest president since, well, nobody. So
satire.
Hooray for Lord Dragonborn. Yes.
His
0-point plan to save everything and let people do whatever the hell they want. Do what you want. Live your life how you feel. It's the only one that makes sense. He's the only one that makes any sense. All right, we're going to play some music.
All right, let's do that, and we shall return, hopefully. And thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yeah, and we're going to just go ahead and call this set Moose Music.
All right. Sounds good to me. Enjoy, everyone. If you want.
All right, Harry Chapin Taxi. This was an all Moose Girl request set there. As Harry Chapin to a taxi and flying so high when he's stoned. Before that, Ed Sheeran doing Masters of War. That's an old Dylan song, in case you were wondering. And we kicked it off with Billy Strings doing a track called Home. So, good stuff there. Good music.
Music.
Yeah.
Music. I like that. That works. That's cool.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
You're witty, Grim.
Oh, I know. I'm. Sharp as a
you
butter.
You are. Come on now.
Sharp as a butter knife. Let me tell you.
Oh my gosh.
Boy.
I just thought about this earlier. I'm like, this year has just been messed up, dude.
Yeah.
It's already freaking August. It's almost September, you know?
Right.
I want this year to be done, dude. And I don't know if it's going to be better next year, but.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, isn't it?
Right. It's probably,
We
got all this stuff going on with, like, okay, I don't know how much you have been researching lately, the CMEs solar flares and shit.
I have a story.
All right. Hey, imagine that.
Well, not necessarily about the solar flares, but.
CMEs?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, tell a story.
It was so close. It just missed us. Just by that much.
Darn it.
Just by that much. all right, close call. On Zero Hedge. Close call. Asteroid unexpectedly makes the closest pass of Earth on record.
Wow.
So it was no big deal, but still. Asteroid 2020 QG just made the closely pass by? Who wrote this? I'll just read it as it says. Made the closely pass by. What?
Made it closely pass by.
Hey, whatever. That's the way it is.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I have no idea.
And they made the closely pass by of our planet on record. The most amazing part? Scientists didn't even see it coming. The asteroid came as
close. No way!
The asteroid came as close as 4,778 miles from the center of the Earth. According to the NASA's database of near-Earth objects, a new report by Forbes, at its lowest point, it could have been just 1,000 miles over our heads, lower than almost all artificial satellites that are currently orbiting Earth. The asteroid was not spotted until after it passed Earth, which is wild considering it is officially the closest call since we started following such passes nearly 100 years ago. The asteroid, not that big, had a diameter of 10 to 20 feet, according to NASA, who also says that the asteroid likely didn't pose a threat. Even if it had entered into Earth's atmosphere, it would have likely burned up in the atmosphere. So, not that big a deal, but still... Come on now. anyway, apparently there was another one back in 2018 that they didn't quite catch. Anyway, so no, I haven't been paying the. I look at the space weather thing every couple of days just to see what's going on up there because you know it affects.
Yeah.
Me. The CMEs that Clyde. Is that who it was? Was talking about the other night. It was a low level CME.
Oh, okay.
But there was a lot of solar gases headed out from it. So.
Okay.
But it still, I mean, it could have caused some issues.
You're usually pretty sensitive to solar flares.
I definitely am. So
you haven't been feeling that.
No, I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything.
Okay. I go by you because I know it affects you a lot.
Let me pull up my NOAA space weather here. And see.
Hey, JJSTO. How's it going there in good old Missouri?
Where is JJ here?
Yeah, he just showed up.
Oh, I'm not
seeing him. Show me, state.
I'm not seeing him there in the chat. Okay.
Andrew user.
Oh, that's him? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, yeah, this was only like, it was in the low G1 rating, you know. You could take a look, but these, that was nothing. Once it gets up in the G2, G3 range, then it's something to start getting a little bit excited about. He's sick.
Oh no.
Anyway,
you need to get you some echinacea, some zinc, and some vitamin C, dude.
Yep, mega dose of vitamin C, hit the echinacea a couple times a day.
Yep, get some echinacea. If you don't have it on hand, get you some, boy. You need some.
All right.
I went when my son had to be so update on my son. He tested negative.
All right.
He was feeling like shit after his supervisor at work tested positive, quote unquote positive.
Yeah.
So, he couldn't work for 3 days. So he lost 3 days of work. To find out he's negative, now everything's all good. He can go back to work and back to life, and his roommates don't have to be tested unless they want to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, they don't have to quarantine and all that stuff.
Right.
But, I mean...
Anyway, look at that chart there on the space weather.
Where'd you... Okay.
Yeah, and you'll see. It's all very low level. There was nothing...
Okay.
There was nothing too monstrous about it. Anyway, you should keep that site bookmarked and...
Okay.
And this one here.
I'm just going to look up CME really quick. People don't know what the hell we're talking about.
But bookmark the spaceweather.com as well. It gives you more descriptive things than the other one. So it kind of tells you what's coming in, what's going on. Here it says CME misses Earth. There's no sign of a CME expected to hit Earth. Yesterday, August 20th, it probably missed. The CME did hit NASA's Stereo A spacecraft. The geometry of the Stereo A impact suggests the storm cloud sailed wide of our planet. Maybe next time.
Right, and here's one. Okay, so this is the other thing that Clyde was talking about, Graham.
Yeah.
And he was talking to someone, or he got an email or something, some communication from someone in Ethiopia, okay?
You probably got mono, JJ.
You might have mono. I mean, but anyway, I was going to say that someone in Ethiopia said that the continent of Africa is splitting apart in Ethiopia, okay?
Yeah.
And it's just been going on for a while. You know, things when things happen with the Earth, it takes a really long time.
Sure.
Anyway, and this also has to do with this other thing. It's all, like, connected. It is. Researchers track slowly splitting dent in Earth's magnetic field. And this is that anomaly he was talking about.
All right.
Okay. So there's an anomaly that's coming up from, like, Antarctica area, which is very questionable because they have – Russia's down there. The U.S. is down there. They have bases and shit set up down there. And whatever they're doing, who the fuck knows, right?
Right.
But they've been down there for a while. My uncle was in the Navy in the 60s. He was in McMurdo for 6 months, dude. I don't think they call it McMurdo anymore, though.
I have no idea.
But there's weird shit going on down there that no one knows about it because no one's there, okay?
Right.
Except for the people that are there. No one lives there. No humans live you're a scientist or, you know what I'm saying?
It's a very small population.
Yes. Anyway, apparently this dent, they're calling it, or anomaly, whatever you want to call it, in the magnetic field, is causing big headaches for satellites. It says Earth's magnetic field, acts like a protective shield around the planet, repelling and trapping charged particles from the sun. but there's an unusually weak spot in the field, a slowly expanding dent over South America. Okay, so it's not Antarctica. South America and the Southern Atlantic Ocean called the South Atlantic Anomaly, or SAA.
Right.
You know how they love their abbreviations, right?
Oh, acronyms, sure.
Anyway, that allows these particles to dip closer to the surface than normal. The SAA developed as a result in changes to the motion of the Earth's core, according to an August 12, 2020 NASA statement. Let me click that so I can get that for you.
Okay, did you saw what
immediately they had a link to that the article.
You saw what Rome said there, right?
Okay, there you go. And
Moses, did you see what Rome said there?
Although the SAA arises from processes inside Earth, it has effects that reach far beyond Earth's surface. Particle radiation in this region can knock out onboard computers and interfere with the data collection of satellites that pass through it.
Yeah.
If a satellite is hit by a high-energy proton, it can short-circuit and cause an event called single-event upset.
Yeah.
This can cause the satellite's function to glitch temporarily or cause permanent damage if a key component is hit.
Right.
So, basically, they're worried about this thing because of their satellites, all the millions of satellites they have up there.
Sure.
But this thing has been getting bigger, and it's a real thing. It's not made up. It's not, I don't know what you're talking about.
What? I was trying to, are you here? Can you hear me?
Anyway.
Moose girl?
I thought that was interesting.
Hello.
Are you there, Rick?
Hello. She has me on mute. She has me on mute.
What happened?
You have me on mute. Oh, boy. All right. That's why she wasn't hearing me. She muted me. Aw. I was listening to her, but she was not listening to me. All right.
Okay, I got you.
All right, there you go.
But you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I've been trying to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry about that.
I was asking if you saw what Rome said in there.
We're on ignore.
Well, because I was talking to you. They heard me talking to you.
Oh, okay.
And you weren't responding. I kept on.
What were you saying?
I was asking if you saw what Rome said there in the chat.
Rome's in the chat.
Yeah, you know who Rome's is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did.
He said the U.S. is splitting in half, too.
Oh, okay. You mean the whole U.S. Okay,
US.
It the Madeira fault, or is it the San... can't be the San Andreas fault, because that's not in the middle. You're talking, is it, in the middle, the Madeira fault, or whatever it's called?
Madrid, what's it called? Yeah, Madrid.
Madrid, the great... something like that. Madrid fault, not Madeira.
I don't know. He just made the comment. He didn't expand on it.
Right. But I have noticed that there have been earthquakes in weird spots lately.
Now, you know,
North Carolina.
It would be cool if it split into three slices, one big one on each side for the Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side, and then a smaller one in the middle for people to just want to be left alone. Or maybe we could be on one edge or the other, but the edges tend to attract the you know, those types. So I'll be fine in the middle.
Me too. Yeah.
So just leave me in the middle. I'm not with the people that want to be left alone. So split it into three nice slices.
Oh my God. And there won't, but the thing is there really won't be a warning. If a big earthquake hits, there's no pre-warning for those,
The
hurricane, they can see them coming. With a tornado, you can kind of tell if there's going to be a tornado usually.
Sure.
I mean, but with earthquake, you don't know what the fuck,
Yeah, it comes pretty quickly within a minute or so's notice. I mean,
right.
Because you can kind of feel it. Your animal, if you have animals, they can tell.
Right. They get freaked out a little bit.
You can see something ain't right, or feel something ain't right.
Right, something changes. Do you feel does your ears pop or anything like that? Is there a change in pressure?
Well, there is, but it's very slight. You have to be attuned to it.
Right.
But,
And like with a tornado, I know I felt that experience where there's a change in the pressure.
Oh yeah, that's
really weird. It's like, oh my god, go to the basement right now. You know,
that's more severe. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never experienced
an earthquake myself. I've never experienced an earthquake.
I've been through tons of them. Yeah, growing up in California, you know.
So what's the protocol, Graham? Get out of a building if you're in it.
Well, it depends.
From outside or what?
That would depend what kind of building you're in and where it's at. And let's say you're in a skyscraper or something, and you're on the ground floor. So you say, all right, I'm gonna run outside, but you realize when you run outside that
this building might fall on you.
Well, not only that, but there's all kinds of those buildings up and down the street.
Right.
And they all have huge glass windows. And so depending on the strength of the quake, if all those buildings start rattling and all that glass starts spraying, it's gonna go down on the street.
On you.
You wanna be under something sturdy that's not gonna be fallen on by something bigger.
But
if you're in a house or like a regular house, you're probably okay. You know, they say to stand in the doorways because that
I've heard that
those are stronger. But depending on what's in your yard, just go to your yard. Earthquakes don't last very long—a minute, 2 minutes at the most. Usually shorter than that. Usually 15 to 20 seconds. But if you look out in your yard and there's not a huge tree that's gonna fall on you, then go to your yard. You'll be all right out there. I remember when I was a kid. I don't know how it was, 7 or 8, whatever. Me and my brother and some friends, we had a tetherball down on these levels we had going down into the canyon.
So we're
down there playing on the tetherball. And my mom comes running. We started to, hey, what's going on here? Because we saw the fence there flopping
moving
back and forth.
You're
right, Flash. I was never actually a kid, but anyway. So we saw this fence start wobbling back and forth, and then my mom comes running out of the house. It was a good 100 yards from the house to where we were.
Yeah.
Screaming her head off, get into the house, get into the house. But where we were. We were absolutely perfectly safe.
You were fine.
Unless the ground was to open up and swallow
us. Open up right there where you were.
Yeah. So she wanted us all to get in the house where she had all her glass knickknacks and everything floating around.
Right.
On shelves all over the place. She loved that, those little freaking knickknacks, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a pretty good sized quake. I don't remember what year it was, but it was mid-60s. Mid to late 60s.
Maybe 69, I think there was one.
In San Diego. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know either, but...
Either way, like I said, it depends where you are and what you're doing as to what the proper action is for an earthquake. But you live in Wisconsin, so...
Yeah.
It ain't a problem.
Not really a problem here, no.
And where I live.
But we do have fracking here, and we have loud, unexplained loud booms and stuff.
Flash says it was 1971.
Oh, okay. Well, that's close.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Planting weed does stop quakes. Silmar.
That would help. I mean, or hemp, you know.
Yeah,
isn't
Silmar up in L.A.? This is a San Diego-based quake. I don't know where Silmar is. Anyway.
I don't either.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. It was a good one. It was a good shaker. Whatever. Nobody died as far as I know. Or as far as I recall, I should say.
So, right.
Yeah. It was a long time ago, and, you know.
Yeah, you were a kid.
Playing
tetherball.
Yeah.
So you had to...
Yeah, there was a lot of them. A lot of quakes.
The one I remember the most is the one in San Francisco.
Oh, the baseball game?
Yeah, the baseball game was going on.
Yep, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
It was a bad one. That
people thought that one was like the big one.
That definitely hurts some
folks. Or going to be, yeah.
Yep, and there was some big ones in L.A. There's been a lot of them, but... Whatever.
Yeah, 1989. Yep, that's right. I think that's the year.
Playoff game or World Series game?
Like October of 1989.
Yeah, it was either playoff or World Series game. I forget which.
Probably, I think it was the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah. I'd
have to look that up to verify.
I was watching that game on the TV.
Yeah, me too. And all of a sudden, shit started shaking. It's like, what the fuck?
Flash was there. Flash was there. Right.
Wow.
Cool. Anyway, you don't have to worry about quakes. Where I'm at, I don't really have to worry about quakes.
No, I'm far away from the New Madrid. It's called the New Madrid Fault.
New Madrid, okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, whatever. All right, we're going to play some more music here.
Alrighty.
And where are we at?
Smoke it if you got it.
Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's. Is that different than
Trader Joe's?
No, he says Trader Sam's.
Where?
In the chat.
Oh, okay. Well, there might be a Trader Sam's up there somewhere.
I don't know who Trader
Sam is. We have Trader Joe's here.
That's Sam. What a traitor.
In the U.S. we have it, but not in my city.
All right, this is Carlos Santana.
Santana.
A Miss Chloe request from back in May. All right, that was very nice, very nice. Trampled by Turtles Whiskey's official quarantine video. Released back in May of this year. Moose Girl request there. Before that was Leo Baraccioli covering Billy Idol's White Wedding. And we kicked it off with a Chloe request. I did not realize how long that track was when I started playing it. 18 and a half minutes there. Nice one, Chloe. Carlos Santana, No One to Depend On, Black Magic Woman, and Oye Como Va. But I loved every minute of it, let me tell you. So thank you. Thank you, Moose and Chloe, for those requests. I dug them.
You're welcome. Thank you for playing that one, because that one they've done in the quarantine time, you know.
Yeah, that was a quarantine video.
They all had to play separately, and then I don't know how these guys are doing this. They must have some awesome editors and video guys that can just meld this shit together, you know.
They must, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Leo does. I don't know how he does his stuff, but he's amazing. Every week he's putting something out.
Yeah, I didn't even play this week's yet, but...
Yeah, he's awesome. If you guys don't know who the hell this guy is, even if you're not into, like, that kind of music, he is very talented. Props to that man. He's incredible.
His track from this week is Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, really? Are you going to go my way?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah. Oh, Grim. I love that song so much.
if we have time, I'll play it. But
all right. You can save it. You don't have to.
But I already have the next set set up, so.
Yeah, you don't have to change anything. Just we'll save it. I'll wait. I can look it up tomorrow on YouTube or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, the NAP, the non-aggression principle. That means that...
I thought you meant nap, like take a nap.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. That's what you thought. People don't understand. What's the nap?
Yeah.
Oh, and then when you tell somebody you follow the non-aggression principle, they say, oh, you're a pacifist.
That's
no.
Right.
No, I ain't no freaking pacifist.
No, because you will defend yourself if you're threatened, right?
You come at me...
Exactly.
You look out. Don't start no shit. Won't be no shit. that's what that comes down to. It's an old anarchist voluntarist thing that's been around for a long time. Yeah. Anyway.
Right.
I like it.
I mean, and I also like. You know, I don't know if you guys know much about Charlie Chaplin.
I know he was a...
You know that he's an actor.
Yeah.
He was an actor, old-time actor. He did, like, the Buster Keaton-type mimes, because when movies first started, they had no sound.
Right.
So everything had to be acted out. Anyway, he was in, like, the Odd Fellows Society.
Okay.
And he was also an anarchist. He believed in anarchist principles. He believed in less no government, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless you're doing harm or stealing, you know what I mean, to another person, you know, have at it.
Right.
Right?
Right. Absolutely.
And I know people are like, oh, yeah, that could, we couldn't have that. Why not?
Yeah,
what
why the hell not?
Reasoning what is your reasoning for all this regulation and oversight and monitoring and invasion of your privacy, people's privacy?
Yeah.
Why are you for that?
People...
Because you're worried that they don't, if you don't think, like, okay, let's say an whatever inspector in the city of Eau Claire passes a certain restaurant, right? But I walk in there and the place is a dump.
Yeah, JJ.
I'm not going to eat there, okay?
Right.
I don't care what the inspector says.
Right.
I'm not eating there, okay?
Exactly.
I'm going to trust, if I get to know the owners of the place and I trust them that they're not going to give me a bad product and they have a clean place and it looks like they, you know, have a good business there, I'm going to give them my money, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll go to one place one time, but if your place sucks, I will not come back, okay?
Absolutely, right.
I will not come back. So that's how it works, right, Graham? If you offer an inferior product, you won't get business.
There you go.
And that's just life,
common
right?
Common sense. It's common sense.
Common sense. So why do we need all these regulations and crap? Look what the government's allowed corporations to do. Look how much the government has allowed corporations to pollute this planet.
Oh, yeah.
It's, and they don't get, you know, some of them have been brought to court or whatever and put fines on them or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're still in business.
Sure.
Okay, now this fire is really pissing me off. He's dead now, that motherfucker, because he's on my desk, that bitch.
Okay, so you got a fly.
He was on the wall, and now he's on the desk. It's a fast black one. Fast little small black spiders do not live in my house. If you're a fast spider, you're a dead spider. Let's just say that. Like, if I see that bitch again, he's dead. Anyway.
Right. Thanks, JJ. Appreciate that. Yeah, 60 candles, that'd be like a bonfire.
That's, yeah, my, yes, it would be like a bonfire. We can't have Grimner's beard catching on fire, JJ. You know, we'll put a 6 and a 0 on there.
There you go.
You know how they make those ones?
Yeah, sure. All right, anyway, so JJ's got an illness, and he may, he's been tested for the corona or whatever. But he said he's not doing the mask thing, and that's a good idea. It's a good concept. And this here tells you exactly, well, tells you kind of why, or this guy's why. All right. Sweden's disease expert says just wearing face masks could be very dangerous. This is on the New York Post from a couple days ago.
Oh, we've been saying this forever.
I know, but now you got
since
like
start,
a...
Not forever,
okay, well,
but
just
the mask plus
a thing. Just listen. I think it mentions it here. This is... I don't know if it mentioned this article or another one that I read. Either way, this guy, Anders Tegnell, he's considered to be equal with... He's Sweden's version of Fauci, except he's not a liar. So, Sweden's top infectious disease expert has resisted recommending face masks for the general population, arguing it's very dangerous if people believe the coverings will stop the spread of coronavirus. Anders Tegnell, chief epidemiologist at Sweden's public health agency, has repeatedly expressed skepticism that face masks will control coronavirus outbreaks. Or any other kind of outbreaks, for that matter. It don't stop the flu. It don't stop shit. Anyway, it's very dangerous to believe face masks would change the game when it comes to COVID-19, says Tegnell, who is considered the country's... Oh, there it is. A country's equivalent of Dr. Fauci. He noted that countries with widespread mask compliance, such as Belgium and Spain, were still seeing rising virus rates. Face masks can be a complement to other things when other things are safely in place, he said, But to start with having face masks and think you can crowd your buses and shopping malls, that's definitely a mistake. He completely brushed off the prospect of wearing masks last month, saying, with numbers diminishing, and Sweden basically has zero now, new cases or anything, with diminishing very quickly in Sweden, we see no point in wearing a face mask in Sweden, not even on public transportation. Tegnell has argued that evidence about the effectiveness of face mask use was astonishingly weak. I'm surprised that we don't have more or better studies showing what effect masks actually have. The infectious disease expert has faced backlash. Oh, he's going against the grain. He's not agreeing with the agenda. So he has faced backlash after the nation controversially refused to lock down, leading to a higher death rate per capita than neighboring countries that took stricter approaches. Different kind of numbers. Anyway, Sweden has recorded at least 85,000 cases, which is nothing, right? Including more than 5,800 fatalities, according to who? Johns Hopkins.
Those evil bastard scumbags!
Those pieces of shit, man. Those pieces
of shit. Scumbag evil fuckers. Right, fuck them, Johns Hopkins bastards.
Yep.
Fuck you, Johns Hopkins, whoever the fuck you are. Fuck you, too.
They're at the center of this.
Are you playing that song, Sister Sin tonight?
No.
Oh, darn it. That's the song for them.
Okay, good. Well, everybody knows the fight song, right? Everybody knows the fight song, right?
No, not everybody. More people should know that song.
Okay. This is something that I was kind of led to through a side path. And I don't know if this is available for public to see or not, but apparently, and this film is about the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act.
Oh God!
The NCVIA. Andrew Wakefield put out this new film, or he's putting it out now. I'm not sure if it's quite out yet. I think it's out now, but I don't know if you can just go see it somewhere or if it's on anywhere to see it. And it's called 1986: The Act, a film about big farmers' immunity from vaccine liability. So here it is, the much anticipated 1986, The Act by Andrew Wakefield has finally been released, revealing the truth about the infamous 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, the NCVIA, and its detrimental impact on the lives of children. Now available for online streaming, but I couldn't find it anywhere when I looked for it. I think not for free anyway. I did find it on their website, but you have to pay, and I don't want to pay. I mean, I appreciate their efforts and all that, but I don't want to pay. Anyway, it shows all the information of how all these big pharma companies are totally have total immunity against any kind of damage done to children, or not just children, obviously, also
anybody,
other people. So the thing is,
why would they do that though? Because they know.
Well, they talk about it.
There's so much risk with these vaccines that they're rushing to push through. They don't know. They haven't tested them. They just put it on the market and use us all as guinea pigs. Anybody that's willing to take their jab, you're a guinea pig.
Oh, I thought I had the trailer.
They're testing this shit on you. You know what I mean? I mean, they're calling the creation of this vaccine Operation Warp Speed. Meaning they're just rushing it through. They're not. It's just ridiculous. If you guys trust these people, I don't know what to tell you, you know, in any way, shape, or form. Do not trust them. I wouldn't. I mean, you can if you want to, but why? They're proven liars. If you've done any kind of research, you know that they're lying to you. If you haven't, but if you think they're not lying to you, then you haven't done enough research, obviously. Because that's what they do. That's their main tactic, is lying. And the way they get it out to you is through your TV. and your social media.
Right. Okay, we're gonna.
You know, really, you can't think for yourself.
We're gonna watch the trailer for this film.
All right, let's do that.
And you'll be able to. Where the hell is it? Where's my damn? Here it is. I couldn't find my place. All right. So this is from this new movie, and. This is great if this gets out there and gets widely spread.
Ford Motor Company introduced the Pinto. It was a small car with a big problem. Ford was accused of causing up to...
All right. There you have it. I guess it came out July 8th, according to that there. But this new film, if you could find it and watch it, I'd recommend that you do. I'll actually embed this video, this trailer video into the blog post tomorrow, for y'all. And here's the article, talking about it over on globalresearch.ca. Did I put that in there? No, I didn't. Oh, wait, I did. Didn't I? Yeah, I did. So I think it'll be huge if this thing gets out there, but I imagine like everything else that doesn't agree with the agenda, they slam it down. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see on that.
Right. So I have something I just want to touch on real quick, because California is on fire again.
Of course.
And some friends of mine that I know... through social media, but I feel like they're family almost, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They live there. And their daughter,
yeah,
who's like 19, she's a firefighter. She's a wildfire firefighter.
All right.
And it's just heartbreaking to see their posts, because like literally their town is burning down. They live in a mountain town somewhere in the mountains of California.
Right.
And it's just devastating. I mean, and I don't know if you agree with this, Grim. I don't know how much you know. Like, you're from California, but you were from San Diego.
Yeah.
So you didn't live, like, in the mountains and everything. But you had, you know, when you were growing up, it was pretty rural still, right?
Well, no. I mean, I was in...
Was it all built up already?
I lived in San Diego. Not in downtown, but in suburb. So it wasn't rural.
But was it really rural, or was it like built up?
Yeah, it was just a town, like any neighborhood.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess what I'm saying is, but have you had experience? Like, we know you had experience with earthquakes, but what about wildfires? Did you ever experience that?
Yeah, the house that I was in that we. Well, time I was like 4 till 10 or 11.
Yeah.
We lived on a canyon. We were on a at the end of this cul-de-sac, and then behind the house was just this canyon, this huge canyon.
Right.
You know, we had our yard and we had a canyon.
And
so there was wildfires in that canyon all the time. It was just, you know, sagebrush.
So what would happen? Would they like make you evacuate, or was that?
Well, I don't recall ever having to evacuate, but
okay.
But, I mean, we watched real close when there was fires in that canyon, you know, because they come right up those canyon walls real easy.
Right. So. Okay. So what I'm asking you is it true that do you buy into this theory that California hasn't done enough work to get rid of some of that debris that's in those forests?
Well, see, I was
considering the fact that there's so many homes around all these areas that they haven't, like, gotten rid of that stuff. You know what I mean? You think that fuels it? I think it's just a natural thing. I don't buy into that theory, because I know that. But it's California. See, I'm used to winter.
Yeah, see, well...
And I'm used to stuff like degrading because of winter, under snow, you know what I mean? In California, it's way different climate, so I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we didn't have the big forests in the town, in the city. If you went up into the mountains, sure, there's plenty of forests up there. But in the city.
See, okay, so trust is, sorry, Grim, but trust is saying it's so big, there's so much brush. There's no way, right, you can't clean all that up after, I mean, and so they try to do control burns, but I think with the control burns, they've started fires doing those, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, but one of the big things there is they stopped a lot of the logging, and the loggers would go in there and clean out the old growth.
Right.
Get rid of that stuff, so.
Yeah.
So the logging was actually good, but you had the whatever, environmentalists or whoever. They call themselves that prevented people from doing that. They had laws.
Right.
They passed laws. I mean, not San Diego necessarily, because there wasn't a lot of logging in San Diego, but further up north there certainly was. Where
in the mountains and stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, up further up north where they're having all these big fires now, up in Northern California.
Right. Yes, JJ's right. Fires do help things grow. I mean, it is kind of a cleansing process, but the problem in California is all these fucking people out there built homes in the middle of a goddamn forest.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would not, for as much money as these homes cost, I would pick a different spot to build a fucking $1 million home, dude.
Yeah, or,
you know, yeah, California, it's what? It's a hippie state or something? It's groovy? California sucks, dude.
Build it out
okay?
of titanium.
I mean, Northern California might still be good, but Southern California, why do you think Grim fucking left? Why do you think he's in the middle of New Mexico somewhere?
Yeah, bumfuck
Egypt.
You know,
I mean, come on. Yeah. Why do you think people are leaving now?
Right.
Why would you build a $1 million home in the middle of a goddamn fucking forest fire?
Right. On the earthquake or an eroding coastline.
Right. An earthquake will wipe it out. A tsunami. I mean,
well, I don't know about tsunami.
You name it. Yeah, well, no, it can. Yeah. If you're on the coast, it can.
I know, but I don't recall ever seeing a tsunami down there. But,
right.
But there is eroding coastlines, and people build right on those.
And the earthquake factor.
Yeah. So.
I mean, Northern California, yeah, it's great. Oh, weed's legal. Let's grow some weed in Northern California. Like, it's saturated now.
Yeah.
Like, that secret's been out for 30 years that Northern California is a place to go to grow weed.
Humboldt County, baby.
Longer than that. That's been since Haight Ashbury, since the fucking 60s, everyone knows that fucking they grow good weed up in, Hayward, California? Humboldt County. Yeah,
yep.
Humboldt County.
That's anyway.
Not a big secret anymore. That's
Colorado
saturated with all these people that want to grow their own fucking weed and shit, which is great. Why is it just dispensaries are allowed to grow weed and dispense weed? Fuck you, dude. That's why we've been against legalization for a long time. We're like, fuck that. You know?
Yeah.
Now they're telling you, oh, you can only grow this many plants for your own personal use. Fuck you, buddy. I'm going to grow as many fucking plants as I want to, cunt.
Right.
You know, if I got a fucking acreage or something, guess what? I'm going to say it's all hemp, and that's what it is. So
anyway, New Mexico is sending a bunch of fire trucks and guys out there.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah, a bunch of guys from New Mexico.
Oh, to California?
Yeah, help them put the fires out.
It's bad. I mean, from what I heard, it's really bad. Like,
well,
I mean, if I was the mom of that child that's 19, out there in the goddamn wilderness, battling these goddamn fires, I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a girl. I mean, not that it matters. Gender doesn't matter. But, I mean, just the fact that she's doing that.
Right.
It's like, holy shit, girl. You know?
Yeah.
Good on you. But anyway, it's bad news. It happens every year, though, Grim. This fire's up there. I mean,
oh yeah.
Why would you build a $1 million home in a known fire zone? I mean, it's like rebuilding a home in a flood zone over
right.
and over again.
Yeah, and people do it.
It's a result. Like, you're gonna get the same result. You know, this fucking bitch is gonna flood, or this bitch is gonna burn out.
Right.
So why are you spending this money to build this bitch?
Exactly.
Why don't you just put it somewhere smarter, dude?
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You spending all this money?
Oof.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's play some more music.
Yeah, let's do that.
And
I mean, I don't know what to talk about hardly anymore. I mean, this show is probably boring as hell, like, tonight. It's like trying to fucking, you know, not talk about some of the stuff that we've been talking about for fucking months and months and months. Like, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know? It gets old. I'm old. I'm sick of it. I'm already done. I'm over it. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you and your mask. Fuck you and your shit.
Yep.
Fuck off.
Yep. All right. Here you go.
All right.
All right, girls. Nice job. Nice job. Larkin Poe covering Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild. That's their newest. It just came out on Wednesday, I think. Yeah. So, good stuff, girls. Appreciate it. Before that, Miss Chloe requests there, Grateful Dead, The Wait, with a Dennis Hopper tribute there. So that was great stuff. And kicked it off with a Moose Girl request, Tom Petty, You Don't Know How It Feels. Yep. So that was all good stuff there. All right.
All righty. Yes, all good stuff. Oh, my God. Larkin Poe killed that song.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
that was
that,
good.
That's their latest and greatest, so.
Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
really cool. They're talented.
They are. I like them. So,
I think you were right, Grim, about the Arizona thing, and,
it's up
there. Writer.
You know, it's up there in that area. It's hard to tell because a lot of those high bluffs and, that red rock type stuff. It could be Arizona or New Mexico if you
right.
as you're coming from Arizona driving eastward.
And it was all on Route 66.
Yeah,
it was
but,
Route
but
66.
Now, but now
in that movie.
Yeah, but now as you're driving on I-40, you see the same scenery. So from Arizona driving eastward. Into New Mexico on I-40 there, you'll see that exact scenery. So it's hard
cool.
to tell, you know.
It's beautiful, though. I mean, it's gorgeous. Like when the sun's setting and the...
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Like, wow.
But, it looks that way up in Utah, too, in Colorado. And,
right. And then, like, you know, Four Corners, like Flash is saying, that's a cool area. Yeah dude.
Yeah. I'll...
I've been to New Mexico, but I went down through Taos. I don't know if you know what road that I would have taken, but
you're probably on I-25.
Down to Santa Fe. Yep. That sounds familiar. 25 sounds familiar.
I-25. Yep. That's the one that takes you from New Mexico up through Colorado. Up in the Wyoming.
Yeah.
Up in the Wyoming.
Yeah. No, but I went down through Taos to get to Santa Fe, dude. I was going south.
Okay.
I was going south.
Right, but it's the same road that takes you north, takes you south.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I'm not familiar. You live there. I don't.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, Taos is very beautiful. Have you ever been there, Grim?
I have not. No, I've been
it's so beautiful. Like,
yeah, I've been right, you know, next to it, near it, but
it's so beautiful.
I never went into the town up there.
Right.
So,
it's pretty. Like, I only drove through it. I didn't even stop there. I just drove through it. I mean, it was amazing. It was really beautiful. Like, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
And Santa Fe is a very interesting town. I really, you know, it's weird. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but.
Santa Fe,
you know what it. When you go to some places, sometimes you get like this weird feeling.
Okay.
No, I don't know how to explain it. Like a weird feeling, because you know how they promote the aliens. You know what I mean? It's just like you get that in your brain, like you know, aliens landed in New Mexico. And,
yeah, but not in Santa Fe.
No, but. Still, when you're there, even in Santa Fe, you see alien stuff, like there's alien-themed restaurants and shit, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Aliens are everywhere in New Mexico, like all the tourist locations have alien inflatables and alien depictions, and it's always the one depiction, though, you know?
Yeah.
Which, if you were smart, you'd, like, depict the other types of aliens that have been discovered.
Well, yeah, but the grays are the ones.
Yeah, but the grays are the most well-known, so that's what everyone depicts. But if you knew or you did any research, you would know that there are pictures of the different alien species, like drawings.
But the Greys are the one that crashed in Roswell.
Yes, they are. So, definitely. Yes, they are the ones that crashed there. And there was actually two crashes. One was in Roswell, and one was on an Indian reservation. And a group of five young boys were all walking around doing what five young boys do during that time. This was 1945 or whatever, right?
Right.
It was 1945, right? The Roswell?
Oh, no, it was 37. 47.
47.
Yeah.
So 2 years after World War II.
Yeah.
And so it was the 1940s, dude. I mean, you know, there wasn't internet, there wasn't video games, you know. If you lived on a Native American Indian reservation, you went out exploring.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, and there's a lot of those.
You were a teenager. Right.
There's a lot of reservations here.
Yeah, and they were exploring, and they came across this crash. Another crash.
Right.
The alien craft. And they, you know, got their elders and everything, and their medicine men, and they tried to save the species, which, using their ways, but their ways might have worked, you know, I mean, not on a traditional human, but we're talking sage and spirituality and Palo Santo wood and all these different herbs and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But those didn't work. You know, he was too badly injured. They couldn't save him.
Yeah.
But they kept it a secret.
Sure.
Because they knew, you know, because they came to like this being, you know what I mean? They felt bad. I mean, they have compassion, you know what I mean? And so they covered up that crash site with sand, and they just, you know, it became a verbal story from that point, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Native Americans truly believe in extraterrestrial. They truly believe in all that stuff. UFOs, extraterrestrial, all that.
Sure, they know.
Because it goes back in time.
Yeah.
You know, the ancient aliens type of stuff and stuff. You know, like that.
Right.
I mean, I'm not too well versed in that stuff, but I'm pretty convinced that it's real. I mean, I don't think it's fake. I don't think it's made up shit. I think it's real, you know?
No. The only thing that's made up is the cover up.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, let me hit this story real quick here.
Okay.
Because it's such happy news.
Oh, really? Really? You're being sarcastic, I can tell.
ZeroHedge.com. IRS projects millions of jobs will vanish for years. Yep, the IRS projects 37 million less.
No shit, Sherlock.
37 million less W-2 filings in 2021. The IRS publication projects huge reductions in W-2 filings through 2027. Pick that up from Bloomberg. The IRS forecast will be about 229.4 million employee classified jobs in 2021. About 37.2 million fewer than it had estimated last year before the virus hit, according to the updated data released Thursday. The statistics are an estimate of how many W-2 forms that are used to track employee wages. Okay, so if there's going to be 37 million less jobs next year, and then far more throughout the following years, up through 2027. Well, I didn't want to talk about it. I mean, it's just, people are screwed. What are people supposed to do? What are people supposed
right.
to do?
You know, okay, so I'm just going to say one thing. Like, someone made a sad face when you talked about losing the loss of jobs, right?
Yeah.
And my comeback was, you're better off working for yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, it's better for your health, too. Like, if you don't like working with toxic chemicals, don't work with toxic chemicals.
There you go.
Don't do it. If you're better off working for yourself and doing trade and barter, okay?
Sure.
And doing something creative. If you're good at something, you're smart, you like being creative, the way is to go in the business for yourself, dude. I mean, not even in the business, because the shit's going to go down, dude. The economy's fucked up, dude. Even though they say, oh, the economy's booming, whatever. It's booming for the stockholders, okay? We don't, me and you, we don't hold stock in these companies, okay?
No, we don't.
They don't give a fuck about you.
And those companies
for us. You know what I mean? And quit trusting their doctors so much. They want to put you on expensive medication that you can't afford that you don't even fucking need.
Simply,
you know, you got to be yourself. We've been programmed to trust them, right? I get that. It's brainwashing. You've been brainwashed. We all have. It can be hard to get out of it, but it's really not that hard to get out of it.
It's very simply this. If the government said it, it's a lie.
Right. They're lying to you up the ass, and to believe them on anything they say is asinine.
Yeah.
You're better off just going, what can I do for myself? How am I going to fucking survive when this shit hits the fucking fan? Let's say they cut off your electricity. Do you have a backup heat source? You live in Missouri. It gets wintry there.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to fucking plan. We've been talking about this since this show started, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called taking the bull by the horns and not having government do it for you. Fuck them. They don't give a fuck about you.
No, they don't.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't. So we all should fucking just say, fuck you. I can take care of myself. I don't need a goddamn babysitter. You know?
Exactly.
If you've got a brain in your head and you're not a child, you shouldn't need a babysitter. If you think you do, I would question that.
Absolutely.
Why do you think you need a goddamn babysitter? You can't make your own decisions?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you that you need a babysitter as an adult?
Right.
Come on now. Grow up.
There you go. Okay, let's do this thing.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
There's nothing to be sad about.
Oh, yeah. That's the gals jamming in the van there. Oh, what's this? A little close-up thing. I don't need that. All right. Yeah. Anyway, that's the Larkin Poe there covering Black Betty for us, jamming in the van. Oh, man. Well, that's going to wrap it up. It's been a good time. I've had fun. You had fun? Yeah, she had fun. Anyway, tomorrow.
Yes, I had fun.
Great. That's great. Yeah. Anyway, tomorrow, we'll have a dork table, but it'll be late. I don't know if Flash wasn't exactly specific, but an hour, maybe 2 hours late.
Okay,
so just
all right. You know, whatever. It's open.
It's not
like you're going to interrupt anything. It doesn't matter. Whatever time you want to go on, go on.
There you go. And I'll be on Sunday in my normal time, noon with the Blues.
Yep.
Noon Eastern, and following me will be Hal Anthony behind the woodshed, opening up the big old can of whoop-ass.
Yep.
Check the schedule over there on reallibertymedia.com for all the rest of the shows coming up throughout the week. And we need more shows, but that's all right. Anyway.
Yeah, I dare you to do a show.
I dare you, dude. Yeah, no show Monday.
You better do that, whatever.
I should be returning with the It's All Connected on the 31st.
Oh, good.
So
cool, Grim. Good.
But not
whatever,
this.
Whatever, you know, whatever. Whatever's comfortable for you, man.
Yeah. Not this Monday, but the following one.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay,
y'all,
cool.
Y'all have a great night, weekend.
Yeah, have a good one, everybody.
And stay away from people because they're sickly, ill, sickly, disease-ridden creatures. we'll talk to y'all later. Peace.
Peace.